This July 4th weekend, celebrate your health independence with our Independence Day sale at my supplement dispensary. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, July 4th through 7th. Get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. We're now part of the FullScript Network, the safest and most convenient way to purchase supplements. Declare your independence from high prices and substandard quality. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping from July 4th through 7th. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about something that I'm very fired up about because, it's not often that a supplement comes along that really revolutionizes the field of nutritional medicine. There have been a few during my career. They turn up every few years. One that I am very, very big on is something called nicotinamide riboside. You've heard me talk a lot about it. Brand name True Niagen, and we're going to learn a lot more about it during this podcast because we're going to talk to the Chief Scientific Officer and Senior Vice President of Innovation at ChromaDex, makers of True Niagen. He's Dr. Matthew Roberts. Dr. Roberts, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Dr. Hoffman, thanks for inviting me, and I really look forward to the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I really consider this the supplement of not just of the year, but perhaps of the decade, because I think it really covers a lot of bases. And to frame our conversation, I'm going to share with you a quote from a guy named Dr. David Geary. And this is not a guy who is a proponent of vitamins or supplements. He's just a distinguished professor of psychological sciences at the University of Missouri. He writes, and I'm quoting here, mitochondria produce cellular energy in the human body, and energy availability is the lowest common denominator needed for the functioning of all biological systems. I think that's a pretty uncontroversial statement. He then goes on to say, my model shows that mitochondrial function might help explain the link between general intelligence, health, and aging. And he goes on to say, and I'm quoting, these systems, and he's talking about the mitochondrial systems, the energy-producing systems in the body, are being used over and over again, and eventually their heavy use results in gradual decline. He goes on to say, knowing this, we can help explain the parallel changes in cognition and health associated with aging. Also, with good mitochondrial function, the aging processes will occur much more slowly. And Dr. Roberts, I think you'll really resonate with those statements because they really speak to the work that you've been doing with True Niagen.
Absolutely, I completely resonate with the quote that you just read off there. So that's fantastic and very much aligned.
Yeah, and the there's this thing called coenzyme Q10. The scientific name for it is ubiquinone, and it comes from the word ubiquitous. But equally ubiquitous is the function of something called NAD, which is partners. I think it's fair to say. With ATP in driving the energy of all our organs and all our processes in the body, right?
Yeah, that's completely right. And there's something called the electron transport chain, which is central to mitochondrial health and central to, you know, a lot of the benefits that you just kind of quoted there from Dr. Geary. And in the electron transport chain, NAD is really the key or the rate-limiting coenzyme that transfers electrons through there, and that is fundamentally what generates ATP and gives energy for all of life's functions. So you can't get much more central than that.
And so going back to the original quote that we started the broadcast with, scientists have proposed that decreased NAD levels are a driver of mitochondrial dysfunction, and they are a hallmark of aging. This is referred to as the mitochondrial theory of aging.
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, one of the things that we think about the science here at ChromaDex is healthy aging is really a function of cellular health. Your cells have to be healthy for you to age well. And cellular health itself is really a word we increasingly define it as optimal mitochondrial function with the supply of the right energy in the right place at the right time. So that flows right into, so that brings all of this sort of nitty-gritty molecular science to a level where it flows through the cell, through the tissue, through the body, and leads to healthy aging.
And there are other things that can damage mitochondrial function. Free radicals may damage mitochondrial function. Certain medications actually may impair mitochondrial function. Aging, of course, impairs mitochondrial function. Disease processes and inflammation impair mitochondrial function. Environmental toxins may also damage mitochondrial function. And things like chemo, things that we deliberately administer to people to fight cancer, may actually hit the mitochondria.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, we kind of look at I think you can look at proper mitochondrial function as both the source of that oxidative damage. The mitochondrial function can lead to the oxidative damage or all of the right repair mechanisms to either prevent it or alleviate it.
So it's a chicken and egg thing. If the oxidative damage affects the mitochondria, but ineffective mitochondrial function can allow oxidative damage to proceed unchecked, correct?
Totally correct. And what's interesting is that electron transport chain that I mentioned generates a lot of reactive oxygen species, which could lead to damage if the mitochondria is not functioning correctly. And particularly that damage occurs when it leaks out of the mitochondria. So net-net, if you got healthy mitochondria, you may be generating a lot of reactive oxygen species, but your body knows how to take care of it. It doesn't lead to the damage that leads to unhealthy aging.
Okay, so there's this other aspect to NAD, which, by the way, it sounds a little bit like nicotinamide or niacinamide, right? Or regular vitamin B3. And there's some studies that show that vitamin B3 is okay. But the other aspect to this NAD story is something called the sirtuin pathway. So can we talk a little bit about that? That's the David Sinclair, Harvard guy, popularized that with the resveratrol story a few years back.
Nicotinamide riboside is a very effective way to boost NAD levels in the cell. When we get into like clinical studies and things like that, we can show that it has, it doesn't have any of the side effects and boosts NAD, levels very effectively. It also does have an advantage in activating certain sirtuins, and those sirtuins themselves are kind of like a team manager or a conductor, if you will, that they orchestrate, to use that analogy, lots of other molecular regulators, which then regulate metabolism and energy metabolism. So, if we look at all of the metabolic pathways in your cells, it's this spider web or network of various molecules that are important for health. But those sirtuins are acting as kind of an orchestrator. The nice thing, to link back to your question, is that NR, while boosting NAD levels, also seems to activate the right sirtuins at the right time to make all of that metabolism function efficiently and effectively.
And that's a good news, because one of the established ways to boost sirtuins is through something called CR, which is probably not going to catch on too well because it means caloric restriction. And I'm talking about consuming about half of the calories that you'd normally consume. It's been shown in experimental animals, and to some extent humans have tried this, so it's harder to get people to do this voluntarily. that if you don't starve them, but you restrict food intake by about 50%, you're going to boost sirtuins. But unfortunately, that's we can't really market that that modality very successfully.
Yeah, that's a whole another interesting area. Obviously, caloric restriction is one of the key ways it's been shown in almost every higher animal ever studied to not only extend lifespan but also reduce I think more importantly, to reduce the comorbidities that are typically associated with that lifespan. There's also wrapped up in there is fasting, right? And fasting and caloric restriction are not the same thing, right? You could reduce calories on a daily basis.
Intermittent fasting or time-restricted feeding, that could help.
Correct, and I think there's still a lot that scientists need to learn about both of those areas. But the interesting thing is that caloric restriction does lead to boosting NAD levels when done with the right level of restriction. There are some examples where fasting could do that as well. And I think where these areas converge is that optimal NAD levels, keeping NAD levels higher than would normally occur in the age state, is going to be beneficial for lifespan and reduce comorbidities of aging.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. Here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Matthew Roberts. He's Chief Scientific Officer and Senior VP of Innovation at ChromaDex, makers of True Niagen. So there's also this popular term that's being bandied about in the anti-aging community and in the self-hacking community, which a lot of people trying to improve their metabolism through various means. It's called autophagy, like auto, like a car, phagy, yep. P-H-A-G-Y, which is roughly translated as self-eating. I mean, how does that figure in here?
Yeah, that's a fascinating area. And you know, when I was describing cellular health as optimal mitochondrial function plus efficient and effective energy metabolism, what's caught up in the optimal mitochondrial function is the right amount of autophagy, which leads to the turnover of mitochondria. You don't want it's a Goldilocks challenge, right? You don't want too much autophagy, and you don't want too little. You want just sort of the right amount. What's interesting is recent work, which suggests that permeability is also caught up in there. So autophagy is associated with caloric restriction and fasting and all of the other areas where you see increases in lifespan and reduction in comorbidities. But it turns out you need another thing to happen at the mitochondrial level is you need low permeability. And there's probably a lot of
In other words, we're actually talking about leaky mitochondria, right?
Correct.
The mitochondria have membranes, and those membranes need to allow for the passage of useful constituents and substances, but they can't be ragged and leaky.
Absolutely. You nailed it, right? You totally nailed it. And so there's two things, the right amount of autophagy, and then, of course, NAD and the levels of NAD and how you boost them are caught up in they act as sensors, which affect autophagy and cell permeability and all of those effects that we just mentioned.
And there's a subtype now of autophagy called mitophagy. We're coining a new term there, but that's where specifically you're recycling old or ailing mitochondria to make energy production of the cells more efficient.
Yes. Yeah, and I was specifically referring to mitochondrial autophagy or mitophagy.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Okay, so, however, you know, it all sounds fine theoretically, makes good sense, but where's the beef? Where's the evidence that this compound, nicotinamide riboside, brand name True Niagen, actually does the job, that actually raises NAD, or it, say it does raise NAD, but then have we demonstrated that this is actually consequential for people, that they feel better, or that they have more energy, they perform better, or that there is a reduction in certain, you know, the potential for certain aging, age-related disorders?
Yeah, so, and that's great. Where's the beef? So, you know, one of the things, and we're not the only ones, certainly, that look at this, but one of the things I was most excited as a scientist coming to ChromaDex is what we call the ChromaDex External Research Program, or SERP. You know, over the last several years, we've had over 170 different collaborations with universities and organizations around the world. That's led to well over 100 peer-reviewed publications.
So what they do is they write you a letter or they send you an email saying, hey, you know, we're interested in doing some research with your material. Can you send us some material so that we can do is that the way the process works?
That is a very, yes, I think is the right answer there.
Right. I mean, if they're legit, you'll cooperate with them. I mean, obviously there's some standards that you try to adhere to.
Yeah. We only work with quality researchers with good clinical or preclinical design, good experiments. You know, we want to participate with the best and the brightest and the coolest science out there related to mitochondrial health, cellular health, energy metabolism. And so where's the beef is really there, right? And so there's a large number, as I was quoting, both preclinical and clinical studies. If you look on clinicaltrials.gov, which is publicly available, there's over 30 clinical trials registered there that are using nicotinamide riboside. And so what that means is not only is there good science now, but there's momentum for a lot of additional human clinical studies that are coming down the pipeline. So to me, and all of those things are consistent, you know, boosting NAD levels, safe, high quality, no adverse events, all those sort of things really indicate that nicotinamide riboside is both an efficient and an effective NAD booster and leads to the cellular health that we talked about.
Well, you know, you're a research scientist, and maybe you're not that familiar with the vitamin and supplement marketplace, but I will tell you that this has been kind of the holy grail of nutritional science for a while, because it actually was recognized that raising NAD is a really worthwhile goal back in the 1990s, and there was a product that was made available then that was said to be helpful for improving energy, reducing the risk of neurological disorders, and it was NADH. And you simply were, you know, you could just take oral NADH in a, you know, some, they purported to offer it in a capsule that prevented it from being damaged during the process of digestion, broken down, and then it was absorbed, it was made bioavailable. But I was skeptical at the time. And then ultimately, I don't think it really panned out. So do you have any recollection of that, or do you understand
I think the answer is encapsulated in the comments that you mentioned. It's much less stable than its precursors. So even though that, you know, one of the end goals is to boost NAD or NADH, it's unstable as an ingredient or a product. It's difficult for it to enter cells. It's also another particular advantage of nicotinamide riboside. It seems to be taken up, I guess we would say preferentially. For those two reasons in particular, there's a lot more nuance to that, but NR is a much, or nicotinamide riboside is a much better ingredient or nutritional than an NADH would be.
So how about this proposition? I mean, since it seems to be a B3 pathway, vitamin B3, you know, you can go to, you know, Duane Reade, you can pick up a bottle of vitamin B3 for $9.99 for, you know, 300 capsules. And can't you just boost your NAD that way?
Again, for the previous constant, you know, nixtamalopram riboside is going to have much reduced side effects, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like a lot of people would encounter flushing.
Well, especially with the niacin form of B3, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. So again, you know, we would believe that the body of evidence would suggest that nixtamalopram riboside is the most efficient and effective NAD booster.
That it actually does it. So studies now have conclusively shown that you can take oral NAD in the form that you make available commercially, not some special, you know, jazzed up lab version of it, but the stuff that's available to consumers, and will actually significantly boost NAD levels in your cells.
Sorry, could you repeat that one more time?
What I mean is, what I'm trying to say, let me say it in a less circuitous way, you can demonstrate perhaps that giving it intraperitoneally in rats, or, you know, some enormous dose IV, corresponding to, you know, in a rat, to a human, you know, the equivalent of taking 20 pills a day, that would raise their NAD. Is it plausible that you can take True Niagen, or especially True Niagen Pro, which is the version I take, and actually boost your NAD levels? Has that been demonstrated with what's commercially available at the doses that are recommended?
Absolutely. And there's already several human clinical trials published, and we will be publishing very shortly. I think that it'll be the largest single study there. It'll be about 140 patients. It'll be doses from 100 milligrams all the way up to 1,000. And shows a nice linear dose response curve, very consistent, statistically significant improvement in NAD levels.
Okay, so it does deliver the higher levels when you take it at reasonable doses, not super expensive doses. Okay, great.
The study that come out, we'll look at multiple doses, and we thought that was important scientifically. Mm-hmm. The R product, you know, is you know, clearly recommending, you know, 300 milligrams per day. You know, the Pro, you know, is for medical doctors and for healthcare practitioners, and so they can use a little bit more discretion. But
and that's what, 150 per capsule? Is that correct?
Yep, correct.
Okay, so and that's what I take personally. I take two True Niagen Pros every morning on an empty stomach. Is the way I like to take it, and that's, you know, the dosage that I think is for someone who wants to optimize. You know, maybe for a person who's very, very sick and debilitated, we might try to go higher. That could get a little pricey if you did that. But it might be justified in somebody who's extremely sick or fatigued.
Yeah. And I know you're in the driver's seat here, but how does it make you feel?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep our audience in suspense because we divide these podcasts into two parts, and I'm going to share a little bit of what happened when I took True Niagen. Okay. So let me, you know, this, what we call in radio, we call this a tease. So let me tease to part two, and we'll start with a little bit of an account of what I experienced when I took True Niagen for the first time. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Matthew Roberts. He's Chief Scientific Officer and Senior Vice President of Innovation at ChromaDex, makers of True Niagen. And we'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.